Good morning, everybody. Morning. Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord God, and we thank you for your goodness towards us. Jesus, we honor you. We bow before you. Holy Spirit, you're more than welcome in this place with us. Lord God, we know that you're already here. And we ask, Father, even through the prayers and the preaching, the offering, the announcements, the kids, Lord God, whatever we do this morning, let your name be honored and glorified. Lord God, we thank you for your presence. We ask that your presence settles in our heart this morning, Lord God. We turn our eyes to the word. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I just want to thank Kevin for setting such a great platform for me to preach off, because he said a number of stuff that he doesn't know what he said, but you will hear as I preach. Oh, Kevin said that. So I could have just sat down and said, okay, you just go ahead, Kevin. But turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 33, please. Exodus chapter 33. So this week is In His Presence, part 4. And I'm excited this morning because we're going to preach on bold to ask big of God. We want to be bold to ask big of God. You know, it's, and to this morning, there's a little bit of a dichotomy in our Heavenly Father, Abba, God, being who He is as our Father, and God, our friend. And I'm not talking about the big guy in the sky, I'm not talking about the dude upstairs. I find that all disrespectful and dishonoring. I think when we speak like that, we've lost the mystery of the reverence of God. And a holy fear needs to come upon us. And that's what says the dichotomy of the holy fear of God as our Father, but it's also a holy fear of Him as our friend, and that we can go to Him. And it's just like a father, those that are fathers here and those that are going to be fathers, it's like when your children come to you and ask boldly of you. And you mostly accede to that, or you try and bribe them. Good that God doesn't bribe us. But Scripture encourages us with the practice of asking God. You know, the ask, when we read ask in the New Testament, the Greek word, of course, is ateo, which means to be adamant and insistent in requesting assistance to meet tangible needs. Isn't that cool? And when we ask, and if you don't believe me, here we go. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ateo God, ask of him who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. John 1:5-13, 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you know that? And this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Wow. And we have to realize that God is outside time and space, and it doesn't always happen like we think it's going to happen. John 16:23. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, that's why we pray in the name of Jesus, but we have to understand we're praying to the Father, He will give it to you. And so that's just a little foundation for us to go to Exodus chapter 33. And it's not going to be up there for you today, because I'm going to read a lengthy piece of passage and then we're going to make some comments on it. Bold to ask big of God. Chapter 33, verse 12. Moses, I love this. So here is Moses who's been called to lead the people into their destination, into Canaan. And here he is now. He sits down and he has this debate, and I call these big asks of God. And he is bold to make these big asks of God. And I hope by the end of today that we would all be bold to make asks of God. Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will will send with me. Critical. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in sight, God's already told him, I know you and you have favor in sight. Now, he's like, okay, God, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. But now I'm like, God, hey, Moses, are you listening to me? Anyway, that's just me. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. God's just already told him his presence will go with him. He said, but if your presence is not going, Lord, for how shall it be known that I found favor in your sight? I and your people, it is not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people from every other people on the face of the earth. And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you've spoken, I will do for you. For you have favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, please show me your glory. Man, I want to see more of God's glory. Amen. I want to see his, you know, you keep referring to Chronicles, I think it's 15 or 6, says that the Shekinah glory, the kabod, the heavy weight of that glory of God was so thick that the priests couldn't minister. Can you imagine coming so thick here that we just like, pow, on our faces before God? And not because we think it's a cool idea. This is because the power, the weightiness of God's glory is so thick. And he said, I will make all of my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face. For man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand in the rock. And while my glory passes by you, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Can you imagine with me, if you will, how comfortable this relationship Moses must have had of God to be so bold to ask these big asks of God. These discussions, there's two friends chatting. God would meet regularly with Moses, because you can read all about it if you just go and read a little more there. And you'll see he had this tent, and he would go out and he'd resurrect this tent, and then he'd go and sit and wait in the tent. And then the Lord would come and you would meet regularly with him face to face. The cloud would come down, the pillar of cloud. They were up close and personal. Are we up close and personal? Are you up close and personal? The Father is inviting us regularly to meet with him face to face, to chat and to be with him. And we have a word for it in Christianese. We call it your devotions time. And we call it your prayer time. When we get to be up close with God personal regularly. What are the characteristics that reveal a true friendship? Friendship is a trust that someone will not harm you in any way. When I give my heart to you as a church, or you give your heart to me in a personal thing, I'm trusting you're not going to hurt me. And I trust you are trusting that I'm not going to hurt you. And that's how we develop friendships. The value of friendship can be gauged by a result of a friend demonstrating that friendship on a consistent basis. You know, sometimes people say, well, we want to be friends. But what they really mean is they want to be friendly. Just want to be friendly. Hi, how are you? But then when it comes to the crunch, not so. And that's when we need to be honest in these areas, speaking the truth, the best approach to have a deep mutual understanding. Friendship needs to be cultivated. You know, when you say, well, I don't have many friends, there's an old saying that goes this way. If you want to have friends, you need to be open to the fact that I'm going to let some people into my lives. And I think there was Kevin was talking, Michael spoke about this fear of man that if I let you pass this wall that I've built up, you know, the wall that we build up in our hearts, we think it's to keep people out. but it also keeps us from going out. Doesn't allow people in, but it stops us from going out because we have these walls. Friendship is often expressed in simple kindness. I want to encourage you in your daily lives, go about doing random acts of kindness. Praying for people, encouraging people, buying them groceries at the store when they're in front of you. Paying for breakfast or lunch for somebody when you're in a restaurant and you see somebody in the restaurant with you. Just high-fiving someone, being kind to them. We need to change some of our thinking in this. We need to come more with an attitude of, I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Christ in me, the hope of glory. This is not about ourselves, this is about expressing Jesus. I'm adopted into God's family. Are these revelatory to you? I'm an heir. I'm seated in heavenly places. Get your head around that one. I have all the blessings of the Father upon me, bestowed on me through His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm a son of the most, or daughter of the Most High King. It's time you started feeling good about yourself and who you are. And I just want to say this morning, when Kevin exhorted us to bellow, roar like a lion from your pit to your stomach, to shout and declare the goodness, this was not a time to now get all introspective and self, well, I'm a worm and I just can't do it. No. This is time for breakthrough. When we call time for breakthrough, you want to take breakthrough. Because all the other crazies around you are taking breakthrough. And that's a good thing. I told you many years ago, if you've never heard this before, I'm going to just tell you anyway. When I first went to church with Bridget, I mean, I'd got saved when I was a little boy, but I did my own thing for many years. And then I was in church one day, and I saw all these people walking around and raising their hands and waving flags and dancing. And I was like, Bridget has brought me to the loony bin. These are people all a little bit strange, a little bit weird. And then the one lady came up and just touched me, put her hands on me, said, the Lord wants you to know that He loves you. And I said to Bridget after, I said, listen, babes, I'll go to church with you, but you, your job is to keep the crazies away from me. Because next time I might not be so pleasant. I don't know who this is. She's the sweetest, kindest lady. She's this. I said, I don't care. I felt weird. Jesus loves you. I didn't really know that. Praise God for her craziness, because then now I'm one of the crazies. And sometimes when we say these things, we get cliched about them, and we're going to look at the depth and the revelation and the power of when we declare, I'm a son of the King. I'm a daughter of the King. I am the bride. I know for guys it's a bit difficult, but now I love the picture of men in bride dresses but with army boots on. I like that picture. We are the bride of Christ. Yeah, but we're an army too. That's where I live. Anyway, God has covenanted 100% to our intimate relationship. Jesus died in order that we can be in this relationship. Jesus came to reconcile us back to the Father. He came to set us free and at liberty, and you can be here tonight and breathe, be free and liberty. And He sent His Son as the sacrificial lamb, the atoning blood of Jesus, the only blood that can do that for us, that we could come into His righteousness, not our own, righteousness in right standing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Then Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to guide and lead us into all truth, as only a true brother and a friend would do. Psalm 119, 140 says, your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them. We go, oh Lord, your ways are so good. Moses says, show me your ways. We say, Lord, your ways are so good. Your promises have, over ages, thousands of years, have been tested, and your servant loves them, because none of them have ever failed. We have to understand that friends like to hang out with each other. Moses loved to hang out with God and go in and sit in his tent and connect with God, his friend. And of course, it wasn't literally face to face, because we know that it's You cannot see God's face and live, because the scripture teaches us. But it was more of an intimate presence, hence our series, In His Presence, an intimate presence with the Father. I trust that every time you walk into this building, and we know we are the carriers of His presence, that as you walk into this building, if you could do it, see it this way, it's like a mathematical equation. I walk in with my presence of God in me, and we have one presence of God. Then Bridget walks in, now we have two presences of God. And then you all come in, and it multiplies and multiplies. And that's why we get into corporate worship, into corporate preaching like this, in corporate prayer time. There is a difference than just me waving my banner and my flag. Friend to friend, Moses and God would fully understand each other. This wasn't a master-servant relationship. This was Almighty God reaching down to call him friend. God wants to reach out to all of us today, call us friend, to be our Heavenly Father, as I explained. When we are intimate and have a close friendship with Him, that's when we get to be bold to ask big of our friend. You know, you have to develop a friendship with someone to actually ask bold asks of them. You don't just arrive on planet Earth here or arrive in the church and you go, okay, let me see who I can ask. Hey, will you lend me $50? Answer is probably going to be no. Well, if you're wise. But once I get to know you and we're friends and I've built a relationship and I trust you and we regularly see you favor and you say, can I borrow $50? Don't all rush me off to church. I go, $50, is that all you need? You say, no, actually, I need 100. I say, here's 100. I trust you. Yeah. It's when people step up with their gifts in the church. When they come, that's why we have this special seat here for the elders. Because we want to hear, we want the church, but for the protection of the church. So that's why you come and you offer him. This is what I feel the Lord's saying. And if he goes, yeah, that's not what the Lord's saying, or it's not quite where we are, then you have to just trust that he is faithful to listen and hearing from the Holy Spirit. But when we trust enough, well, I can't speak for all the elders, I'll speak for myself. When you come up and give me a word and you show me Psalm 119, you tell me you want to read Psalm 119, I'm probably going to say no. But if you say, I've got this word, it's in the Bible, said, I don't need to read the scripture, I trust you. Is it where God is taking us this morning? Yes. Okay, give the word, because I trust you. If you're an unknown quantity, then we might spend a little bit more time, because that's building friendships and relationships. When we look at Moses, we realize he must have spent many, many hours in the tent. You know, after the first debacle of the golden calf, and God comes to me and says, hey, Mo, I want you to lead the people. Give me some street license here. I think Mo goes, say what? You know what happened the last time we trusted these people? In actual fact, Lord, you even say they're a bunch of stiff necks. Yeah, I'm not so sure. And then he says, shh, quiet. People outside, because the people would all come and stand at their tents and they would worship too. And Moses would be talking to God in the tent. And where was Joshua? Sitting in the back of the tent. Oh, this is cool. And then when Moses left the tent, Joshua would just stay in the tent, embraced in his presence. Then we can learn something from that. Three bold asks of God this morning. Number one, who will you send with me? Number two, give me some affirmation. Number three, show me your glory. In everyday life, when we walk with Jesus, we should be also bold to ask big of God. Number one, who will you send with me? Exodus 33:12. Moses says to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Now, if you understand the whole story that's going on, and you can go and read it before that. We don't have time. Otherwise, someone's going to fall out the window at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what. I'll just preach till 5. We'll let you go for a break, and then we'll come back and just pray. Isn't that cool? And if anyone falls off their chairs and dies, we'll raise you from the dead. Who does that work for? Yeah, one or two. Okay, so they have this golden calf experience. Then Moses comes down and he's mad with them. And He makes them do an awful thing. Go and read it. I was like, you know, you think, oh, Bible's always gentle, Jesus, meek, and mild. No, not so much. And then he says to him, he says, God says, listen, don't put on those ornaments. And in the Middle East, when everybody got dressed and was ready to praise and party, they put all their little ornaments on everything, and they'd come ready. But yeah, he says to them, don't even put your ornaments on. Just leave those things alone. He says, because you need to be mourning and in penitence for your stupidity, people. Because you're stiff-necked. 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 Wow. See, I'm trying to preach fast now. And then he said, and then the Lord says to him, he says, I'm not even going to go with you, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to send an angel, and he's going to help you, Moses, to lead this way and lead these people. There'll be a substitute. And Moses is like, whoa. I don't want any substitute. I don't want second best, Lord. No angel required. It's you, God, that I want. So who are you going to send with me? I just need to know this thing. I don't want no angel. Shouldn't we be the same? We don't want some counterfeit. We don't want some substitute. We don't want something second best. I want my Heavenly Father. Jesus, Holy Spirit, guide and lead me. Take this thing. I want a friendship that's intimate with the true living God. We have to have the advice from perspective. When you walk into your boardroom, when you walk into your meeting room, when you walk into your schoolroom or whatever, you don't want some substitute, some worldly advice that's going to help you. A friend of mine needed a piece of land that he wanted to build a church on. But the city had taken a portion of it illegally. So he had to now go to battle with them. So he says, well, Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. Anybody ask for me wisdom should just ask. And he asked, and he asked, and he asked. And the Lord says to him, I want you to take a big sword, like the one hanging in my office. I want you to take a big sword into the boardroom and lay it on the table. So he walks into this pastor walks into the city thing. He takes this big sword, you know, like Excalibur, and puts it on the table. And these guys go, whoa, what is that? He says, I don't know, but the Lord told me I have to bring a sword today because I'm asking for my piece of land and I'm not paying for it. And the Lord has said that is our land. And they said, where do we sign? You can have your land back. We want God's wisdom. We don't want man-made, self-made up. I'll just ask my friend how he does this. No, we want godly wisdom. God's response is in Exodus 33:4, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. When you learn to rely on me, when you learn to rely on my presence, there will be rest for you. Do some of you feel like you're striving every day, you're working? Let me tell you, the devil drives, Jesus leads. Let me just say that for you this morning. Are you being driven or you feel you're being led? I know I used to be driven. No time to tell you all that. But of course, not enough for Moses. Moses was like, oh, okay, your presence with me. But okay, Lord, just hold on one more second. Second question, I need some affirmation, please. Exodus 33:12b. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Do you think Moses was confused? Yeah. I think he's like, consider too that this nation is your, just by the way, God, I just want you to remember, this people you've asked me to lead, they're not mine, they're yours. Yeah. They're yours. I know they've messed up. I tried. I went up the mountain, came down. Went up the mountain, came down. No, they're just partying and carrying crazy in this golden calf. And now you want to send an angel? I'm not having an angel. I want you, Lord. Just remember, these are your people. Moses is not interested in moving anywhere without God's presence. And that's how we should be. You know, I was pondering this the other day. You know, so how many times you said, oh, I need a vision? You don't have to put your hands up, because I know you have. I need a vision. I need a vision. I'm starting a business. I need a vision. I'm doing this. I need a vision. I'm leading this family. I need a vision. Let me tell you, that's the wrong question. I need His vision. It's the only vision we need. You do not need another vision for your family. Two visions are division. You get it. Then he says, I know you. Moses is not interested. And then he goes on into Exodus 33:15. And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. That's pretty clear. Moses got that one right. How shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct and I and your people from every other people on the face of the earth? Christianity is the only religion, cult, whatever, against other religions, other cults and all that kind of stuff, we rely on God's presence. Everyone else does not have His presence. And that's why Moses says, how will we go? It's only with your presence with us that people go, there's something different about that person. There's something different about that people. John the Baptist said in John 30:30, he must become greater and I must become less. Sadly, people have taught and told you that means that you must become this sniveling little worm so that Jesus' ministry can get bigger. You really think he needs that? I don't think in any shape or form. I think the point of that was like John had this amazing ministry and they were saying, John, your ministry needs to take a backseat now because this is the new one that's coming. This is the baptism of John the Baptist. This is now the one is coming who you are not even worthy to undo his sandals. He's coming to baptize us in the Spirit. And so we need to understand the voice in our head is what I'm trying to say. The voice in our head from God has got to be much louder than any voice you hear. Not yours, not your husband's, not your wife's, not your kids, not your boss. Nobody. God's voice in your head. God's response. Exodus 33:17. And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken, I will do. For you have, and I think he wanted to write in there, Moses, for the third time now, you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. That's intimate. God knows every one of us by name. He knows the hairs upon your head for some of us. It's only God's presence that distinguishes us from the rest. He's saying, my stamp of approval, my pleasure is signed off on you by my presence. When we walk into this building, as I said earlier, visitors coming, I pray and I trust that they walk in and they go, wow, the presence of God is in this place. Not because we're special, but because His presence abides with us. But it's so evident because of our willingness to honor Him and bring glory to His name. You know, have you ever tried not giving glory to Jesus and taking it for yourself? It sort of falls flat. I saw something on Facebook. Yes, I do look at Facebook. I saw this on there. Beware of people who are always telling you how great they are. A lion never ever has to tell you he's a lion. God is saying, I've singled you out. I've chosen you by name. We be like Moses, have been chosen by God to affect the area where He's placed us. There's probably enough things that God has ordained me for do for me to even try and make up some more to do. Matthew 10:30 said, and even very hairs of your head are numbered. Moses said, I need your affirmation of all this, God. I'm a little bit nervous of these people because they, you know what they like. And then he goes on and he says, now that I have your stamp of approval, Lord, in your presence, show me your glory. Show me your glory, Lord. Exodus 33:18. Please show me your glory. The big ask to show me your glory, that word is the kabod. The weighty presence of God, the abundant glory, the richness in splendor. All those beautiful English words to describe His glory. And I trust that every time we come together, that weightiness of His kabod, His weightiness of His glory falls upon us. I trust that when you catch the GO train, when you're driving, as long as you don't get too weird while you're driving your own car to work, His weightiness, His presence would fall upon you. When you're in your workplace and you're talking and all of a sudden, boom, the weightiness of God comes on you. And you can help people, lead them to Christ. And God's response is more than just His glory. Verse 19, and He said, I will make all of my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Verse 22, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock. You see, He wants to protect us as well. And I will cover you with my hand until I have passed. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. All my goodness will pass before you. I will proclaim my name before you, the Lord. I will also reveal to you the fullness of my nature and character. Do you want to live in this space? I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And while my glory is being revealed to you, I will protect you. Moses, you don't know what I'm really saying. I am your everything. Psalm 139:16 says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Go and read it. Psalm 139 verses 1 to 16 or 18 or something like that. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. God has planned and purpose for. Stop running around looking for another plan and a purpose. Our purpose is Jesus. Bring glory and honor to His name. It's all ordained for us to. It's written in the book. We just have to get there and catch into that. He says, all of my goodness will be revealed to you. And you read further on. And I want to say this because I think sometimes as Christians, we've been sold the lie. And we don't understand the full gospel of God's grace. And you think you still live under a generational curse. As a Christian, as a follower of Christ, covered in the blood. And we get this from this in Exodus 34:6, but we don't read it properly. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, in other terms, thousands of generations, it says, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. They're three different things. But who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. See, there's a generational curse. They are there, but not for Christ followers. Because He's very clear. Keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. Are you the guilty? No, because there is no curse that can be against me because it's all under the blood of Jesus. That is the beautiful picture when Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. It is finished. The gift of salvation, it is finished. It is finished my time on earth. It's time I send to the heavens. And so that's what the Lord is saying. And so we probably can preach a whole message on that one. But I just wanted us to understand that when the Lord says, I will proclaim my name and reveal my goodness to you, the goodness is that you love him, he loves us, we love him. There is no curse that can come against me. Zechariah 17 and 18. Go and read those. I think it's Zechariah 17 and 18. Go and read those. That'll help you understand. The next thing he says, I will proclaim my name to you. I will reveal myself completely to you. I'm not holding anything back. This amazing Heavenly Father, creator of the universe, who spoke and said, and it was, and breathed, and it was. The same one wants to be our Father. He says, I will be Jehovah, meaning the all-existing one. I will be to you. I will be who I will be. I will be. Show mercy, I will show grace to who I will show grace. I will be Jehovah Jireh, the Lord's provider. I will be Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my presence. Jehovah Sabbath, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Makadeshim, the Lord your sanctifier. Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Tznitkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God of Israel. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And in the New Testament, the New Covenant, Jesus is all of that to us too. No, that's only God. No, Jesus is God. Remember? In the New Testament. And then he says, I will protect you. I will protect you. I'll put you in the cleft of rock and will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. God is a prayer answering God. Where, show me your glory. Show me your ways, Lord. Who's going with me? I need some affirmation. Well, Luke 9, if you go and read the story, is the probable fulfillment of Moses' prayer. And you see how long that took. On the Mount of Transfiguration, there's Peter, James, and John, and they're all standing there. And who comes and stands with Jesus on the mountain? Moses and Elijah. And of course, the three silly boys go, oh, Lord, let's just stay here, and let's just build some camps, and let's just be here. I always love to talk about Peter, James, and John. What about disciple number four who didn't get to go up the mountain with them? Oh, what's wrong with me? What's so special about you three guys? Here he is, Moses and Elijah, and here's Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah as friends on the mountain of transfiguration, and he answers the prayer, show me your glory, and you can go and read it all in his white and righteousness. And God is interested in the details of our lives. He knows the questions that are on your heart right now, even as I'm preaching. Sometimes we just have to, as Kevin said, verbalize it. We war with this, we praise with this, we worship with this. God says, I will not only show you my glory, I will also proclaim my name to you, the fullness of it. I will not only show you all of my goodness and my nature, and I will also show you the effects of my presence. Remember, Moses had to come down with a veil over his face, and he had to stand there because of the glory being at God, like reflecting, because he was reflecting. We should ask these questions. We should be like Samuel, who said, Lord, speak, for your servant heareth. We should go, whatever ventures we're going on, Lord, who will you send with me? I won't do this unless you're in it, Lord. I won't buy this car. I won't buy this house. I won't start this company. I won't go to this, change this job. I won't do that. I won't do that. Are you with me, Lord? Are you guiding me? Is this your vision for my life? Give me some affirmation. I need your affirmation and your confirmation. I need your yes and amen, please, Lord. This is walking in the supernatural. This is stepping out the boat. This is not making our own decisions. Show me your glory. I want to see your manifest presence in a deeper way, Lord. So this morning, are we bold to ask big of God?